We're going to go back to Hebrews 1 and 3. Hebrews 1 and 3. We need to touch on that one before we can go into number 4. And remember what we said here. Hebrews 1 and 3. Hos on apogasma. Tase, doxes, kai, kara, tek, character. All right, our character, if you want to put it that way. Tase, hypostasios, autu, pheron, ti, ta, panta, to, remate, tase, dinamiois, autu, ka. Katharismun, ton, amartion, poiesimonois, ekathisen, en, dexa, tase, megalosinase, en, hypselois. That's a mouthful. Big words. Big words. All right. Who? All right. Who is this who here? Who is this nominee singular masculine relative pronoun?
Jehovah.
That's Jehovah. And Jesus. Now, Jehovah means what?
He who shall become.
What verse in the New Testament does this correspond to directly? What is it? Kaihologos arxigenito. All right, John 1:14. All right. And the word flesh he became. All right. Who, and look at this word. Nominee singular masculine present participle active from Amy. All right. And that means being. Continually being. Who being. Eternally. Always being. All right. Now remember the title of this verse, God's supernatural power keeps the universe running and in perfect time. All right. This word here, who being, this is a timeless existence. All right. John 1 and 1 says what? In beginning, kept on being. Aim, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead, if you want to translate that. And the Word, all right, and the Word, aim, proston, theon, kept on being toward the God, kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because the Word, or the Jehovah, kept on being God. All right? There's three sentences in that little verse right there. And here we have it repeated again in a different way. Who being absolute timeless existence, just like John 1 and 1. All right? And then we have the word apagosma. Remember what we talked about this last week? What does this mean? It is an original light source. Radiating from an original light source, like the sun. Not reflecting a light source, but radiating an original light source. Like the sun, not the moon. Not reflection, but emanating. All right? Outflashing. Yeah. Jesus said He was the what? The light of the world. He said the light of the world came into the world. The world was dark. The light came into the dark, but the world hated the light and rather chose darkness. This is it. Right here, again. He is the light. He is the light source. He's the creator of all light. Genesis 1 and 1 says, Barashith bara Elohim. Et Hashemayim we Ethar Arts. In beginnings created God the heavens and the earth. And then it says the earth, Haaretz,
Haya, Tuhu Vavuhu. The earth she became formless and void. And then it says Ruah Elohim, Spirit God,
brooded over the faces of the deep. And what was one of the first things that he did? Spirit God. He said, let light become.
Let light become. And light became. All right? That's beautiful.
Artificial light.
Yeah.
It isn't the light of God.
Yeah.
It is the light of the sun. Energy.
Now, this is the original light source. But who created all light sources?
Jesus.
The one, the Creator. All right? The Creator created the original light source. He is the light. I talked to an old Indian one time. Every morning he would go out and he'd put his hands up to the sun, especially in the cold winter time. He'd take off his shirt and go out there, and when the sun would rise, he'd put his hands up there. I asked him, why do you do that? He said, the Creator that created that, that's part of Him. He made that light shine. And that is a reflection of Him. That is His creation. That creation that makes light. Without the sun, we're not going to need the sun one of these days. Way over there, yonder. But right now, without the sun, what would this be?
Dark.
An ice cube. And darkness. And cold. He said when he put his hands up every day, he said he felt the power of God Himself making His universe in order. Putting His universe in order. The outflashing of the creation of God. We see light. We see artificial light. There's all kinds of light today. There is. They've got brand new kind of lights now. You know, every few years they invent something that's brighter than something before. You can go down and buy brighter headlights, can't you? And then pretty soon, you can buy brighter headlights than those. You know, they got the blue ones, and they got the red ones, and the orange ones, and now they got the LED ones, and they got the halogen ones, and whatever. All kinds of stuff. Well, we have the original light source here. Of the glory, taste doxes, of the glory. All right? What does John 1:14 say? Let's go back there and read John 1:14 and then go to 1:14 or 1:18 and see what it says. All right? Are you, David, do you have a Bible with you?
Yeah.
It's one of them King's Bibles,
yeah.
Though, isn't it? That's the only problem with that thing.
Well,
that's cotton picking Episcopalian.
It saved a lot of people.
Pedo baptism business. All right, are you over there too, Randall? Are you there? Well, go ahead. You read that, Randall. Okay, David, you got it now? All right, he went to the trouble. Read that 1:14 there. You can correct it as you go.
Okay. And then Jehovah was made flesh.
Made Himself flesh. Became flesh.
He tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory. And the
That's
glory
the word, right?
Only begotten of the Father, full of grace.
We beheld that doxa, that glory. The glory of the only begotten God. 1:18, are you there, Randall? 1:18.
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father.
Being, that word being there. That's the same word as what we have over here, the second word up here. The one being. Okay? The one being inseparable. He has led Himself out. All right? He became flesh. God brought Himself into flesh. And now He has led Himself out in John 1:18.
That's what my
epistle
by this is.
Oh, you corrected it, didn't you? All right. You read what it says down there, Brother David, down to 1:18 now.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten God, which is an inseparable part of the Godhead, He hath led Himself out of eternity.
All right. Into space and time. let himself out. It comes from ekenago. That's what that word comes from right there, that last little word. And then it says, and character. 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 Look at that. Our English word character is exactly like that. Now, the word a typewriter used to... How many of you have a typewriter? Anybody still have her? You've got one, Randall. You got one. David, you got one? Then? I got one of those things. Anybody else got a typewriter? A typewriter has an image on a hammer. And that hammer hits a little thing that has ink on it, a little ribbon. And then it hits on the paper, and then you see the exact image on there, the exact character of what's on the hammer. Okay? And that's exactly what God did. Here we have God, and now we see His character in the person of Jesus Christ, because that is God.
Like Father, like Son.
Yeah. The exact representation, the image, the substance.
Just as every other son is of his Father.
Yeah. The pressed out image.
I actually like the way the King James...
What's this say there?
It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
All right. That's pretty good.
Good.
Let's see what it says in whoever wrote this. The exact character of the reality. Of the reality. Of the understanding. Of the standing under. The paper under the print of the impression. Alright? The reality of it. We have God. We know that God created the heavens and the earth. But when the God of heaven became flesh, we see the exactness of God. That's Him. Right there. The reality.
He is not a duplicate or a likeness. He is God.
That's right. He is God. He always was God. He always will be. Just like John 1 and 1 said three times.
As God flesh.
In beginning, in for eternity, forever, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. It's God.
He is God.
He is God. The reality of Him. The reality of Him. Bearing, Pharaon. Pharaon, bearing. Nominee singular masculine, present participle active. Bearing. All right. The reality. You can put genitive singular masculine third person pronoun there, but I really believe it's probably oblative, expressing out of Him. All right, oblative singular masculine bearing nominative singular masculine present participle active from Pharaoh. Te, that's a little what we call an enclitic particle or a particle of accumulation. And are both the all, the things all. All right? By the instrumental singular masculine definite are by the remata, remata. What does that come from? What does remata come from? This is beautiful now. This rema. It comes from reo. It means to flow. It means to flow. Literally. It really means to flow.
Oracle?
An oracle is a remata. An oracle. How did God create the heavens and the earth? It all came from Him. It all flowed out of Him as He spoke it.
It came from within Him.
Mm-hmm.
God is as
God held all of the universe in solution in Himself, and He spoke it into existence. And it flowed from Him.
Yeah, everything that's made anywhere comes out from God.
Yeah.
From the
midst
of God.
Well, we have the word here, word, or oracle.
But it also means the literal. Sometimes it's good to go back to the literal because it does mean the flow.
Now, how is the world put in order? By the Word of God. It was formed by the Word of God. And it came from Him. And as Brother J. Lewis Guthrie used to say, and Brother Hubbard drilled into me for 9 years that I sat under him. 9 years of this drilling. This is why I can repeat it on to you. Yourd. He said, God did not make man. Man was not a secondary creation of God. He's a primary creation of God. He came right straight from God. He made him as he created the dust of the ground, but not from it. Because he came directly from him. He is a direct primary creation of God. Now, woman was a secondary creation because a woman came from a man. But man came from God. The way the same elements. It all flowed from God. Rail. It all flowed from God. It says by the instrumental, singular, by the remata of the power. How did God create everything? By His power, His dynamis. All right, by the power of Him. And you can also, it's genitive singular masculine, but that also could be translated to oblative, because where's the power coming from? From God, out of Him, the origin, the source. Okay, the source of all power, source of all creation. And then we have the word katharismon. All right? The name Kathy comes from this, Kathy. All right? Kathy. That's a good
comes
name.
From what?
Huh?
Comes from what?
From this word, katharizo.
Well,
okay. Katharismos, all right, is the root of this word. But katharizo, that means to cleanse. That's what the word Kathy comes
good.
From.
Okay. Well, that's why
I'm
good.
Yeah. She purifies you every day.
I've been with a cleansing process for 45 years.
That's good, brother. It's working. Just keep up the good work there. The cleansing of the hamartion. Hamartion. The sins. Now, what are the sins? As many people say, they took off with Thayer on the wrong foot. It's not to miss the mark.
There's a lot of words translated
yeah.
in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them means, as everything else does, a little different
yeah.
view of
this one.
That imperfection.
The cleansing of the going astray of us. For we have all gone astray from our mother's womb, haven't we? All gone astray. The cleansing of the going astray of us. And then having made poiesimenos. All right. Nominative singular masculine, first aorist participle, and middle voice. He did it for himself. Middle voice. Again, just like John 1:14, again a toll. All right? And just like that ek and ago there, for himself, middle voice, he does it all. How did you get saved? How do you get cleansed from your sins? God does it. He initiates it. He convicts your heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And then what does it do? Gives you the faith to believe. Ephesians 2:8 says what? For in grace ye are having been saved. Through faith. And that didn't come out of you either. It is a gift of God. Not of a product of employment. Not of works. Lest any man should brag and boast. It is a gift of God. Beautiful stuff. All repeated here in this fine little book called Hebrews. Having made for himself, he sat, third person singular. First aorist, indicative abbey. He sat down, kathizo, all right? He sat down in the right side of greatness. All right? Who sits on the right side of the throne? The king. Who sits on the left hand side of the throne? The queen. All right? The bride. He's sitting on the king's throne in glory. That's where he is. The right side, the dexa, tais, megalosynes, of greatness. In the hypsilois, in the high places. High places, plural. Locative plural, in the high places. Where is the high places? Hashemayim. The way up yonder. The Hashemayim, way, way up yonder. The heavens above. Plural.
1916,
the
cross reference for that statement?
Yeah. I've got a lot of cross reference here. Let me give you some cross references of this one. John 1 and 1, which we studied. John 1:14, John 1:18, John 12:45, John 14:9, Genesis 1 and 1, Philippians 2 and 6, 2 Corinthians 4:4 and 6, John 1 and 3. That's very important. Colossians 1:16 through 20, 2 Peter 1 and 20, Job 7:21, Hebrews 8 and verse 1, Jude 25, John 17 and verse 5, Matthew 25, 18 through 20. All right. Beautiful. All of this. He is the prophet, he is the priest, he is the king, he is God. That's who he is. He is all of those things. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3 and 2 Samuel 7:23, it talks about the greatness of the glory. Many places, Psalm 93 and verse 4, John 17 and verse 5, Matthew 8 and 3, Hebrews 9:14. These are all cross references to these verses. And by the way, the word apogosma is used one time in the New Testament. It's quoted by it's used by Philo, and it's used in Wisdom. All right? That's the only place. This here is a rare word. All right? A rare word. See if there's anything else I need to look at that one. Katharismon is used one time in Hebrews, just in this form right here. This cleansing. All right? This cleansing. As it is today. You can look that up on page 206 in the Analytical Lexicon, by the way, if you want to look up that word. And that way you can find out where your name comes from, Kathy. All right, one in verse 4.
I've got a quick question.
Yes.
The word Ramati, I'm just trying to look it up in the analytical lexicon, the cross reference is, I think, Rama.
Uh-huh.
But
it comes from Rayo.
Rail?
Uh-huh. That's where it literally, the root of it is rail. And I can't remember what page that is on. I have it.
Spell it.
Rho, Epsilon, Rho, Omega.
Okay.
Let me go see if I can find it here. I'll tell you what page it's on in a moment. Maybe I will. Pi, Rho, Sigma.
There it is. I found it. It's on
rail? On page what? Rail, 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 rail. Should be right around there someplace. Yeah. Yeah, 359. So write that down there. 359. Mm-hmm. Rail. And what does rail say there? What's it say there?
It says
a flowing. A flowing. That's what it literally means. And if you go on there, you'll see that it is down Ramah, that which is spoken, a declaration, a saying, a speech, all of this, also a charge, an incrimination, whatever. By the way, if you're going to study Greek, you really need to get one of these old Greek lexicons. That's very, very analytical Greek lexicon. And if you're going to study the text of the Bible, you're going to need a real Greek lexicon. And if you get what's wrong with me? Can't remember. Nestle Island. If you get the Nestle Island text, it has got the best footprints in it of anything that you could have. It has an apparatus And the apparatus, if you'll learn how to use it, will tell you everything and where it was, and all of the things that I give you basically comes from the apparatuses. It tells you all the historical study of it, and it tells you the history of the text and the families of Greek texts and everything, and where a word started, and if it was a discriminated writing somewhere, it'll tell you all the history of that. And then, of course, this is why I brought this tonight. You need Thayer's. Thayer made mistakes. Thayer was a pedo Baptist, but basically he's good. Okay, it is a study. It is not an analytical lexicon. It is Thayer's is a lexicon. All right, it doesn't tell you every form of the word, but it tells you the roots of it. So you need this one here is pretty good. You need that one. Then there's a whole lot more Kramer and Bauer, Art and Gingrich and. And the granddaddy of them all is what? Who knows what the granddaddy of all Greek lexicons is? The standard by which you judge all others. It's this thick. Literally. No. Liddell and Scott. Liddell and Scott. That's the granddaddy of all of them. If you really want to get serious with Greek, that's the one you really need to get. All right. So now we've covered 1 and 3. Let's go to 1 in verse 4. Jesus is superior to the angels because he is deity. All right. Again, John 1:14, John 1:18, John 1:1. Repeating himself. Hebrews 1 and 2, 1 and 4, and 2 and 4 are cross references to this little verse also. Tosuto. Kraton. Genomenos. Tone. Angelon. Poso. Diaphoroteron. Par. Altus. Keklaronomekin. Onoma. All right. By so much more. Here we have a comparative correlative here, all right? And that one, if you want to mark it, goes right down to hoso. That's what is a correlative with hoso. Just mark it down there, across that page, right down there. By so much more better. Comparative. Kraton. By so much better. Having become. Look at that word, genomenal. All right, that comes from Genemai, and there we go right back to John 1:14, don't we? All right. Became. Agenito is also a sister to this word. Having become, middle voice, for himself. Don't forget to look at the voice. Having become for himself. John 1:14 says what? Kaihologos arx agenito. And the word are the Jehovah, flesh he became for himself. And how did he lead himself out of eternity into space and time? For himself, middle voice. Beautiful. I believe the Word of God to be inspired. Even to the tenses, to the modes and the voices. All right? It's beautiful. Having become for himself better than... It's what he saw. Better than angels. Okay? Better than the angels. Angelos. Look at the word angelos. It's alpha, gamma, gamma, epsilon, lambda, omega, nu. Alright? Alpha, gamma, gamma. When it's alpha and a gamma, gamma, what does it do to the word? It changes the sound of it. Alright? It has an ang sound. It's not angelo. It is angelon. All right, angelon. Better than the angels. As, better than, by so much more as, and more excellent. Dia phoroteron. Look at that word. Dia and phoros. That is a very rare word also in the New Testament. Two times it's used in the New Testament. All right, two times. Romans 12 and 3 and here. More excellent than Actually, para means it's a contraction of para, isn't it? If you lay something down side by side, you can see that one is greater than the other. Okay? Lay a penny and a quarter down. Which one's bigger? Huh?
Quarter.
The quarter. Which one's worth more? According to volume.
Quarter.
Huh?
Comparative worth.
It stands for 25 cents, but the value of it is not 25 cents. You know, the only American coin right now that is made that is worth more than what it actually is a penny. A copper penny. Because copper is higher, costs more than a cent. You know, in World War II, they made them out of steel pennies, didn't they? They ought to go back to steel. That's the only American coinage that is actually worth more than it is. Because that quarter is made out of copper with a little bit of plating on it. That's all it is. It's sure not worth 25 cents, but that penny is worth more than a penny. You can go buy your rolls of pennies and go down and turn them in for copper and make money. But don't do that, because that's defacing coins. Then you'd be in trouble. Yeah, you're breaking the law. All right. Let's go on here. Comparatively, more excellent than them, these angels. All right. Accused the plural masculine third person pronoun. He has inherited. All right. He has inherited. Look at this one. Third person singular, perfect indicative active. He has inherited and still has it, by the way. Perfect tense. What's perfect tense mean? Remember what that perfect tense means, Brother Blanton? That's done. It's completed action. It's done. Finished. He has inherited. Now we have the word here, kekleronomekon. Third person singular. Perfect indicative action. It comes from kleronomio. All right? Klero means what? We know what a kleptomaniac is, don't we? Somebody just wants to steal. What is a klero? Klero. What about klero? What's that word? That's a lot. That's a portion. Kleronomia. Nomia means law. It comes from nomos. All right? A lot according to law. Nomos. And then we have another word here that comes from nomos also. Onoma. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Actually, in verse 19. Who's got Matthew 28 and verse 19? Anybody have it in Greek? Aha, we got one Greek over here. We got a guy out here that's had about 8 years of Greek. How many years of Greek have you had, brother, in this class?
Six.
6 years. All right. 6 years. Yeah. Working. 6 years.
Matthew
28 and verse 19. All right, Matthew 28 and verse 19. What does it say there? It's right there at the end of that there book. 28:19. What's it say there, brother? You can translate it as we go.
Grow in Bethes Mahon Ma.
Oh, that's nations.
Nations, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, let's look at this thing.
Let's read it.
All right. Having gone out, therefore, make disciples, verse 19, of all the nations, baptizing them in to onoma, eston onoma. Onoma, the name of. That word means authority. There's another word for authority, it's exousia. Onoma, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Look at that word, onoma, there. That's the same word here. The name. Now, What that word means, I'll never forget what Brother Hubbard said every time we come to that. It says, name to him. That's what it means. Name to him. On him off. And a lot of times on the radio, I'm thinking in Greek half the time. When I think a sentence, if I'm going to write something, I think it in Greek and then I put it down in English. Because it makes sense in Greek. And then I put it down in English. And I'll ask him out there, what's the name to him? The name to him. That's what it means. And what is your name? What does that mean? It comes from nomos, which means what? Nomos in Greek is what? Law. When you sign your name, you can sign your life away. Do you know that? Because by law, you have a name placed upon you. The name upon you. And your name gives you authority to sign and buy a car, buy a house, or buy a wife, or a husband. That's what it does. Sometimes you make a good deal, you put your name on something that works, and sometimes you put your name on something that doesn't work. I bought two brand new cars in 1978 one time. A drunk wrecked one of them, smashed it all up for me, and I went down and bought another one exactly like it. And I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't like it. It was exactly the same car, same engine, same transmission, everything, but it wasn't like it. The first one I did real good on. The second one wasn't quite so good. Different. I put my name on that when I bought that car. I put my name down there. My onoma. According to law. Now, Jesus has inherited a name, authority. Matthew 28:19 says what? You go out and after you've gone out, make disciples, baptizing them in what? In the name of, in the authority of. Now, he has an authority. Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus is superior to the prophets. He's superior to the angels because Jesus is deity. He's better than all of these. And he has an authority because he is God the Son. That none of the others. All and angels are created beings. We're talking about the Creator here. Now the Creator did something. He did something fantastic. He did something that we as humans, it is supernatural. It was beyond our understanding. How did God become flesh and walk among us? Why would he even want to do that? The only way he could redeem us. And the only way he could redeem his universe back. Because when he put man on this earth, when he put Adam on this earth, and Adam sinned and sold out his authority over the earth.
Adam was no Christ.
He wanted us to touch. So we had, God had to buy it back in human flesh. He handed it over because he made God in his image. He made man. God made man in his image. I'll get it out right. Because God made man in his image. God, from man, from God, man flowed out. And God made him in his image. And he put him over this earth. So the only way when man sinned to get the earth back is for him to become related to that rascal. And it was the only way he could do it. Jehovah's Witnesses will never get that. The Mormons will never understand it. Even the Seventh-day Adventurists won't understand this one. Or Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert W. Armstrong, they just can't do it.
They don't
understand it. Amy McPherson never did understand it. None of those people can understand the deity that came in among human flesh to redeem us. By his own power, and by his own righteousness, and by his own glory, he did it. Your good works are not mixed with it. It is only by the power of God that he saves us, and he is going to put us in glory with him. We do not do it. We don't even hardly take part in it. except what little volition that we have there when God calls us, and then God gives us ability to believe. That ought to humble you just a little bit. You didn't do any of that. You wouldn't even initiated it. One thing about God calls all mankind, but not all respond. Oh, they all respond, yes. But negatively. Those that do not respond are those that are not persuaded. All right? They are not persuaded. They choose not to come. Nobody will go to hell and say, "Why, I didn't have a chance." They all had a chance. They all had the price paid for them. Every speck, every piece of sand in the whole universe, God bought back with this blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. He's going to buy it all back. Every bit of it. Every star. If there's ice on Mars, He bought it back. If there's water on Mars, He bought it back. He bought back every particle on this earth. For God so loved the what? The cosmos, that He gave His only begotten Son. Not only did He love us, but He loved His creation, because that creation came from Him too. Number five. That's just preaching ground there, people. I just couldn't hardly help it. I was teaching one time in the Gospel According to John, and Don Leidy was sitting back there, and he said, "Brother," he said, "quit preaching and start teaching." There was something in there so strong, so beautiful, that I had to just let it fly. Tine. Gar. Apen. Pote. Tone. Angelon. Huios. Mu. A. C. Echo. Semeron. Gega Neka. C. Kai. Pauline. Do you see that C in there? See, they got some Spanish in this book too. See? All right. Tine. To which individual angel? That's what it's talking about. To which individual angel? It actually starts out with that little old conjunctive casual particle there. That's gar. And it says, for to which individual angel he said. He didn't say to any angel. All right? It's making a statement there that's absurd. All right? The Son of God is superior to angels. That's the story. 1:5-13 is where it begins. Actually, we need to finish reading the rest of this. Ego. Esomai. Alto. Ace. Patera. Kai. Altos. Este. Mue. Ace Huion. Look at that little thing back there. Do you see that semicolon there at the end of that thing? Is that what you call a semicolon, I think? That period with a little comma underneath it? That's a question mark in Greek. All right? That's a question mark in Greek. For to which did he ever... He said ever of the angels. All right? That word he said there is third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. By the way, that comes from Lego. It doesn't look like Lego, but that's where it comes from. All right? Lego means what? Reo, remata, as we looked at it a while ago, reo means the flow. That's an edict. That's a statement. That is a flowing. Okay? Lego means what? How do you speak? How is that word Lego? And there's laleo. But what about Lego? What does the root form? What is the idea of this Lego? Huh? Literally. You're going back to Hebrew now. The bar. The bar means to set in order. All right, set up, line up. Lego, kind of like that, but not literally. What's Lego? Come on, let's get back to the... Let me draw you a little picture of Lego. All right? Uh-uh. All right, there's a Lego. All right? A Lego out in the yard. Picking up seed. That's what it literally means. A bird out in the yard picking up seed. That's what this word comes from.
Lego. It means I pick. Election comes from this word. I pick out. All right? Election. Now, the word Lego literally means to pick up or pick out. Okay? For to which he picked out words and set them in order. All right? He spoke to. Which angel did he speak to ever and say, Son of me? Now, it wasn't Michael Archangel, I can guarantee you, according to the Jehovah's Witness and Herbert Armstrong and a few other nuts. That's what they say.
It'd also be a lie.
Yeah. He didn't say it. He didn't say that to any angel. He said, Huios of me, heir of me. Huios means to create out of something. It means to put yourself in something. Your heirs come from you. Your heirs come from you. They do. Your heirs are part of you. The Son of God emanated out of deity because he was deity. The Son of God stood as deity forever before time began. In space and time, what we call the pre-Adamic Christ became flesh, John 1:14. The Son of me.
Is this why some think that Apollos wrote this? Because Apollos was mentored by John, and this sounds like John's writing?
Like I said before, I don't know who wrote it. Apollos could have written it. He was a very educated, very eloquent man. Luke, some people think, might have written it. Either one of them are very educated, but they know who the word heir was. Now, Apollos was a Jew, but he was what kind of Jew? What kind of Jew was he? Where was he educated? What kind of Jew was he? He was a Hellenistic Jew. Where was he educated? In one of the high points, places of education in the world. Alexandria, Egypt, where the greatest libraries and everything. Now, it went wrong there. Some of the greatest teachers in the world were in this area, and one of the greatest minds were in this area. And this is where Apollos was educated. Okay, but they knew what the word huios means. The word huios is the heir. That's the one that comes out. Abraham's heir was who? The heir, his full heir was Isaac. Remember that. God did some funny things.
No, different things.
He's got a sense of humor. God's got a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, just look at a skunk or a porcupine or something like that. Look at me.
If you think a skunk is funny, let him squirt you.
That's what I'm talking about. Cute little animal, but what does he smell like? Boy. Let's get back here now. God's got a sense of humor. He does. Of the angels, Son of me, you are. Son of me, you are. Look at that. Son of me, heir of me, you are. Actually, it is. You is, if you want to get it right down right. You is.
God is black after all.
Son of me, you is. Literally.
Well, that he is. That's
because it is continued to be.
Yes.
He is. He always was. He didn't become the Son of God. He is the Son of God. All right. Every now and then, it's kind of a little, the way God puts it there, and we think of it in our language, it may be funny, but you is. All right. Son of me, you is. I have begotten. First person singular, perfect, indicative, active. I have begotten you.
That's the big difference between the first and the second half.
Yeah.
One was created and one was begotten.
That's right. One was created and one was begotten.
Adam.
Now, the first Adam, all right, where did he come from? Came from God. That's right. He came from God. The first Adam came from God. Where did the second Adam come from? But, all right, he became God in the flesh. Now, the promise was here in eternity past. God all made all the plans out here. And in space and time, when man sinned, after he was in, and the curse came upon him, he promised him in Genesis 3:15, he promised him a Messiah that would redeem him. But when did that Messiah, the messianic promise, take place? Why was nobody in heaven before Christ went to the cross? Because the purchase price hadn't been paid yet in space and time. The purchase hadn't been paid for. The purchase was promised. But then the purchase was paid for. The purchase was made. God kept saying that He would come. But in space and time, He finally began. Became. All right? This day I have begotten you. And again, Kai Paulin, and again, I shall be for myself, by the way, middle voice. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? First person singular, future indicative mental. It comes from Amy. I shall be and continue to be to him ace patera. What is it in Hebrew? What is it in Hebrew? What is the word for father in Hebrew?
Abba.
Well, not that. Not that word. Abba. All right. What is it in Latin? Paterfamilia. All right. And in Greek is patera. Pater. All right. We have the father. All right. I will be to him ace. This word ace is beautiful. You can look up on page 119 in that book and just read all about it. You can go over to Thayer, and Thayer, he's got several pages on that word, ace. By the way, there's no ice in ace, as Brother Hubbard used to say. It's not ice, it's ace. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what the grammar rule of grammar states. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. I shall be to him ace. I don't know whether you can translate it in this person. In this deal. I shall be to him ace, a father. And he to me ace, a son.
What do you have written as the translation?
Four. But really that doesn't it just doesn't translate it. The Greek idea there, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action, that's what it is. I shall be to him a father, and he shall be for himself. Look at that. For himself. How did God get into this world? He brought himself into the world. Write this verse right here, man. I mean, you can go on with this from Genesis through Revelation, people. This is a gigantic statement here. He shall be to me unto son. A father and son. A father and son that are one. The son is a son to the father, and the father is a father to the son forever. Unto, ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action continuously. Verse number 6, Hebrews 1 and 6. Remember where this subject begins, the Son of God is superior to angels. 1, 5 through 13. So all the way through verse 13, it shows us how superior Jesus is to angels. Therefore, he could not have been an angel. Period. He is not Michael. Period. He never was. Period.
God didn't have angels born to him than a virgin woman.
Yeah. Angels are creation. The Son is the Creator. Angels were created by the Son. He sure wasn't an angel. All right? He is not an angel. Brother Mike McBroom, he said, boy, when he went to Hebrews, he really, you know, he used to be a Jehovah's Witness. But when he went to the book of Hebrews, he had a real case of indigestion. And this is the chapter that gave him the indigestion right here. All right? Almost every converted Jehovah's Witness that has been converted, the first chapter of the book of Hebrews had a whole lot to do with their conversion. If you listen to the Word. I'm going to tell you something. You can't get around it. Hoton de polen eis agoge ton pro totokon eis tein oika menoin lage kai pros tene sa toson. Boy, these are big words, aren't they? Alto pontes angeloi theu. Hoton. Let's say this together. Hoton de polen eis agoge ton prototokon ace tain. He's fond of ace, isn't he? Oiko menain lege kai pros kinesat toson alto pontes angeloi siu. Psalm 97, verse 7, Acts 17 and verse 6, Revelation 1 and 8, Revelation 1, 13, 1, 17, and 18, Hebrews 10, 5, Matthew 24, 14, Luke 2, 13. Psalm 89, 28, Colossians 1 and 15, Romans 8, 29, Colossians 1 and 18. These are all cross-references to this. Do you think we can cover this in one... Let's look at it a little bit, and then we'll come back and look at it some more, okay? We'll look at this just a little bit, and I'm going to turn you loose, and then we'll come back and look at it some more next week. whenever again, he brings in the firstborn, prostotokion, unto the inhabited earth. All right. But whenever again he brings in the firstborn unto the inhabited earth, the first that he brings in, that's third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. All right. When it's in subjunctive voice, it also can be in the passive voice. That probably is better sense here. The inhabited earth. Oikomenein. The home remaining is what it means. It comes from house and meno, oikos and meno. Our house remains here today, our earth. We're kind of messing it up a lot, but it's still going to remain here until God is finished with it. The inhabited earth, he says, third person singular, present indicative active from Lego, same word Lego. He says, and they shall bend the knee toward. Third person plural, first aorist, imperative active. They shall bend the knee toward him. Who's a him there? Actually, that should be in capitals, because it's talking about God the Son. It's talking about Jehovah. All right? The book here calls him Jehovah later on. Actually, this book does not quote the Hebrew Old Testament. It quotes the Septuagint. But in Hebrew, it talks about Jehovah. Thy throne, O Jehovah, is forever and ever. They shall worship, they shall bend the knee to him, all the, what? Every angel shall worship him. Every angel of God shall worship him. Even Satan. Did you know that? Satan did worship Jesus for a while. In eternity past. But there's going to be one more time that he's going to bend the knee to him when God judges him and throws him in the lake of fire forever. We talked about hell
On Sunday night, we talked about hell. Hell is not a place of reformation. Tophet is not a place of reformation. Abyssin is not a place of reformation. Did you know that? Hell is not a place of reformation. It's not where you go. A penal colony is. When you put somebody in prison, they go to prison and you beat them up real good, supposed to make it uncomfortable for them to be there, so they don't want to come back there again. I remember I knew this guy that got in Arkansas, public adultery was punishable by throwing you in the chain gang. And they caught him out with somebody else's wife, and they put him in the chain gang. And he escaped off the chain gang, came out here to California. He said he wasn't going to go back to the chain gang. He would die first. He learned his lesson. He didn't get in trouble anymore. The chain gang really was a reforming thing. When they got off the chain gang, they didn't want to go back. Hell is not a place of reformation. It's a place of judgment. The bottomless pit. Now look at what happens over here. Follow Satan's little old quickly snaky line down here. He goes down, God throws him in the bottomless pit for how long? 60 days, doesn't it? And how long is it he goes in that bottomless pit? I'll be so. 1,000 years. Now when he turns him loose, he's reformed. Huh? He's just as mean as he ever was. He's meaner. He's bad. He's a bad boy. He's the original bad Bob. Yeah. He's bad. He gets out and he goes and kicks up dust and causes a lot more trouble. And then God puts him in the file 13 forever. Completely. Forever. But you know what? Satan's not going to reform. But he's going to bend the knee one more time to Jesus when Jesus puts him in there. Into the bottomless pit he goes. Out before Jesus he goes. He gets thrown into the lake of fire. All right? He gets thrown into the lake of fire. And you know what? Not anybody, no one that goes to hell is going to say, I didn't deserve it. They will all confess. What does the word homologia mean? The word confess, what does it mean, homologia? That means to say the same thing. That means to agree with God. That dirty rat is going to agree with God that he belongs in hell. And everybody that goes to hell will agree with God that they belong there. Yes, Marilyn.
All the saved people get to see that. I'd like to see that.
Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll tell you one thing, if you're one of the Lord, if you're in one of God's churches, you will be judging angels. And of course Satan is an angel. I'm going to be glad when he's tossed into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever, because he has given me a lot of trouble in my life. I don't like him.
I don't think that place will be in your neighborhood. It's a different area,
part of the cosmos.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for enduring those hard seats and for your participation. This was a great class for me. I don't know how it came across, but I hope it was as good as I studied it. It's fantastic. The book of Hebrews is wonderful. It's full of wonder. Full of it. Well, let's go turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal this week. Something that lasts. Brother Blanton, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Marilyn, you might be able to locate a tour bus in heaven somewhere that will take you to see that. I doubt that very much. Our Father, we pray that your name would